Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Daled. We're holding the third and the fourth line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara is asking me, Kara my Sovar, what did Shammai hold? And what was Shammai? What are you referring to? So you remember back on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara told us a story. Let's quickly go through the story. Five lines from the bottom of the Amid. Tana Rabbana, Masavi Adam Echad. Shlo Yehoyu Bonov Noyahagin Kishura. He had children that unfortunately were off the derech. Doesn't say in which respect, but they weren't doing what they're supposed to. Omar, because of Nechasim Yonis ben Aziel, therefore he gave away all his Nechasim to the famous Yonis ben Aziel. We're going to talk about him shortly, as you'll shortly see. He was one of the Gedoyle Hador. He gave him all his Nechasim, instead of giving to his sons, gave it to Yonis ben Aziel. Ma'asi Yonis ben Aziel, what did Yonis ben Aziel do? Mochashlish, he sold a third of the Nechasim that he received for his own needs. Hitzish Shlish, he took a third of it and he was makdish it for the Gizbar and the Beis HaMikdash, or if this is post-Beis HaMikdash, for other Tzedakis or what have you. Vehechzel Lebanav Shlish, and he gave back a third to the children of that individual who had originally disinherited them. Shammai was very upset. Ba'olav Shammai Maklev Tarmilai. And he asked him, what's going on over here? The whole purpose of that person giving you this Yerusha was because he wanted to disinherit his children. What are you going against his wishes and you're giving them inheritance after all? So Omalek,
what's that adding to that he came?
The Makle to me means that they didn't just meet them this medrash. Yeah. It means that he had to go some distance. Makle with his shtekin, Tamila with his backpack, as if he had to go from one town to the other. He had to make an appointment. It wasn't just that they met in the street or they met in this medrash, that he felt so strongly about it that he had to go out. It's Omalei Shammai. So now Yonasim ben Aziel says to Shammai, Shammai who's protesting and saying, why did you give a third to the kids? So he said to him, and although the Gemara doesn't say so expressly, apparently Shammai wanted him to change his mind and to take it back from those children. And Shammai, so Omalei, so
Yonasim. Shammai
was the one that lived at the time of Hillel HaZaken. And therefore, it's either the Shammai or maybe two Shammai. Hill, you have a number of Hills in the Gemara, but you don't have a number of Shammai, to my knowledge. So this is apparently the Shammai. Right. But we have to ask our historian.
That's
Barry.
Not here. I'm not a historian.
Oh, okay.
What's the question?
Well, Yonasim is
here.
Yonasim is the town of Hillel.
We're going to have that mission, the Omid Aleph,
yeah,
at some length.
It seems that Shammai was, when you look at Pirkei Avos, when it talks about the Shammai was earlier on, I would have thought.
Shammai followed Shammai.
I thought you knew Tom Ben Ozio was later.
He was earlier.
I didn't know he was a contemporary of
much
Shammai.
Earlier on.
He must have been because there was a dialogue here. And he was a Talmud of Hillel. And Hillel and Shammai were certainly contemporary.
Yes.
Well, in Gemara Shabbos, the three Gentiles who go to convert, they first go to Shammai, then they go to Hillel.
Good.
Okay.
So, Zokti Gemara, Omalei. So now, Yonis ben Aziel says to Shammai, Shammai, Im ata yochel ohitzi es mashe macharti, mashe ikdashti, ata yochel ohitzi mashe hechzarti. He told them it's almost like a package. And that is, you want to go and uproot and reverse what I gave to my children. If you can possibly reverse the sales of the nechasim that I've already done, and the hegdish that I was already makdish, then if you're able to go and reverse, then reverse everything. Then you can reverse this as well. But in lab, if you're not able to reverse the mechirais of the nechasim, and you cannot reverse the hegdish, then there's no way that you can go and be machzir and be moitzi what I return to the children. What did he mean to say with that? What he meant to say with that is that when the person gave me that Yerusha, there were no strings attached. He left it totally to my discretion. And therefore, I had the right to do with it whatever I want. I could sell, which I did. I could be makdish, which I did. And I can go and give them some nechasim, which I did. You think I don't have the right to go and do that? So then you want to uproot the entire Yerusha and you want to say that there were strings attached, explicit or implicit. I go and I reject that. Why did Shammai feel so strongly about this? And he came up a makdish tarmilai and he felt that there were strings attached. We'll see in another moment from the story in Beis Choron.
So he never told them why he gave a third to the sons?
Not only that, it could have been in a written last will and testament. And one morning, Yonasim ben Aziel wakes up and he finds in the mailbox a letter from the lawyers on behalf of the Nifter and from the surrogate's court. Good news, you have now yarshined that entire estate from that Mr. Pliny Almayi, from that who governed. We don't know who that person is, just as Ba'odamechot. We don't even know if he was wealthy or if he was a man of modest means. We just know whatever he had,
but
he gave to.
That he gave a third to the sons of the one that...
That passed away.
Right, so he never said why he did such a thing?
The Gemara doesn't explain why he did it, but he did feel that he had the discretion to do that.
Right.
Since there were no strings attached.
Okay, no, because Shammai asked him why, so I was wondering if he could answer.
Shammai wasn't only asking him why, Shammai wanted to reverse and say, you had no right, you
right.
should not have done that.
Right.
We're going to see in a moment why Shammai felt that.
Technically two different things.
What's two different things?
You had whether it's chal or whether he should have done it.
It's toast for Hegdish, Havi Hegdish or not. That's the machlokas we had elsewhere, right?
That was the machlokas that we had before, also between Shammai and Hill.
Yes.
And Shammai holds the Toys Hegdish. Shmei Toys.
Right.
Shmei
Hegdish.
Shmei Hegdish. Yeah, Hegdish. Shmei Hegdish. Anyway, so Yonis and Beniziel said to him, you want to reverse it? Then you're going to have to reverse everything. Shammai said, I'm not going to reverse everything. I'm only talking about that third that you gave away back to the children. No, you can't do that. If you agree that I had enough koyach, enough discretion to go and be moicher, and to go and be makdish, then you have to agree that I had enough discretion to give it back to them. I could have done anything with the money, because the will didn't say any strings attached, zero. I could take the money and I could flush it down, etc. I could do whatever I want with it. And Shammai had to begrudgingly nod, and Omar, he said, Hitiach alai ben Uziel, Hitiach alai ben Uziel. Rashbam says that loshen means, he's saying in a light fashion, he is responding to Yonis Menizil and said, you bested me, you bested me. Nothing I can do, what you said is correct.
He trumped him as well.
He trumped him, exactly. Okay. I said, please don't say that in front of me.
No,
I'm
not.
I know you're a moderate. I realize.
You're a small team.
I don't, I'm not moping and I'm not...
You're not crying? You're not crying.
That's me.
Anyway, continuing the mark. Meikara Mai Sava. What was Shammai Svara originally that he got so upset and so tzachish and tzimisht and tzaridit that he had to come and makla with Tamilat? So I'll tell you why. Mishamasa the Beis Chayim, the famous story of Beis Chayim. What's the story of the Beis Chayim? Now, it's a mishnah that we had back in Masechtas Nedarim. Maasa the Beis Chayim. There was a story that happened in the place called Beis Chayim. Be'echad. There was a person. Shaya Oviv Muder Heimenu Hana. Unfortunately, this gentleman and his father were at loggerheads, meaning that they did not see eye to eye, perhaps on political issues, who one should vote for or one should vote against. It doesn't tell us why they were not seeing eye to eye, but it got to the point that the father was mudr himenu hana, meaning that the son was prohibited and precluded from giving any hana'a to his father. Well, you may see benoi. And now the son is marrying off his child, which of course is the enikel of the father, the Omer l'chaveiroi, and he, the person who's making the chasana, the mechitin, is now concerned that his own father won't be able to participate at the chasana. He won't be able to drink, he won't be able to eat. Now what he should have done is, he should have gone to a local bezin and been matinator. But apparently he didn't want to be matinator. He wanted to continue this difference with his father. Apparently he was concerned about community pressure or las. In other words, the next morning everybody in shul before the daf, instead of talking about Trump and Biden, they're going to go, or Kamala, whatever name it is, they're going to go and start talking about the fact, I was at chasanas. Can you imagine that Zayda wasn't even a chasana? I was sure he was going to get bruch achrit or at least something. He wasn't even there, he didn't dance. So he was nervous about that. So therefore he wanted his father to be able to participate. The Omer l'chaveir, therefore he told one of his chaveir, do me a favor. I'm giving you the whole wedding ball with all of the food and everything. I'm giving it to you, matana. It's all yours. However, why am I giving it to you? Because once it's no longer mine, now it's yours, then you're not mudr hanoh for my father. He'll be able to come and eat and drink and be merry. So that would be great. Nobody will talk to him the next morning about him. They'll talk about politics. Amalek, this chaver who's getting this present, was no fool, and he said to the fellow who was mudr himenu hanoh from his father, Im shalihein, if you're really giving it to me as a bona fide present, I'm makdish the entire wedding ball and the feast and the chatzar and the house, everything, all the shamay. As soon as the original fellow heard that, he was aghast. You think I gave you the entire wedding feast and everything, you should be makdish shamay? Are you nuts? So now, again, the chaver who had received this unexpected so-called present said to him, I know why you gave it to me. After all, you yourself confided in me. You said, the reason why you're handing this over to me is so that you and your father will be able to go and eat and drink and be merry at the chasana. And I am going to have the aveira on my head. What aveira? He's misayeya yidei oivri aveira. How is he misayeya? Misayeya means to go and assist those that are transgressing. Aid and abet. Beautiful. How is he aiding and abetting? Says Rishbam, because since this is not a bona fide hafaris nedarim, he didn't go to a bezantim matinator. After the chasen is over, he says basically to his wife, Baruch Hashem, we took care of daddy. Hopefully I won't see him until the next chasana. You know, I don't want to be able to see him. Shave a bracha, who knows. Anyway, but the point is, we took care of it. Nobody in the community is going to be upset and say, oh, they're going to talk the moitzi laz about us, that the zeder wasn't at the chasana. And we, unfortunately, were going to be oiver on this din of mudr heimenu hana. In other words, since this was not a real bona fide present to the chaver, it was only with the string attached. So therefore it wasn't a real present after all. Because the chaver said, oh, okay, if it's really mine, I'm being makdish l'shamay. No, don't be makdish l'shamay. I don't want you makdish l'shamay. So it wasn't a bona fide present. It's not a bona fide present. And then the father is having a no when he's not allowed to, or the son is giving him a no when he's not allowed to. So therefore there's going to be a violation of l'yachel devaroi. You're being mechalel the words of your neder. And I'm going to be a conspirator or an aiding and abetting towards that aveira. I don't want that. So that's basically the end of this explanation of Shammai, that Shammai was being medama milza lemilza. That just like in that case, the reason why he gave him the whole kit and caboodle, the whole wedding feast and everything, is so that his abba should be able to go and join with him, not to go and be makdish. So therefore, says Shammai, when that fellow gave you the inheritance, Yoynes and Ezeel, he didn't give it to you so that you should now do payback and give it a third to the children. He gave it to you so that you should not give it to the children. You should use it for something else, for yourself, for tzedakah, whatever, but not to go and give it back to the children. So isn't it the same case? And that is what the Yoynes and Ezeel is telling him. In the case of Beis Choyroi, it's crystal clear what his kavana was, because there was a string attached. What was the string attached? Because he told them, the reason why I'm giving it to you is Kadeshi Yavoi Abba Yoichli Manu Besuda. That's the express reason. And therefore the Chaver said, if that's the reason, I'm not interested. Because then I'm going to be aiding and abetting the violation of Layachel. But in this case, the person who passed away didn't say anything. No strings attached. He didn't say why, when, where. I'm giving it to you, Yoichli Manu Besuda. So Yoichli Manu Besuda is now showing Shammai, just like you cannot go and quibble with my sale of a third of the nechasim, you cannot quibble with my being makdish, because it's mine. So you have no right to quibble with my returning a third of it to the kids, because the father never said, yotz anish, he gave it to me totally, without strings attached, total discretion. So my discretion was, I gave them a third, and therefore Shammai had to say, you know what, you're right, because the Beis Choyron case, he did tell him specifically, but does that tonight, Koinam Lamasa, the reason why I'm doing it.
So Barosh Tolu Barosho, he's talking about himself in the third person?
Exactly, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
How come we have matanas with Tanaim, like a matana on Manach Lahatzer, considered a real matana? So why is this, the fact that this is a matana with a Tanai, not considered a matana?
Why? Who says it's not considered matana?
So it's a matana.
In the case of Beis Choyroi?
Yeah.
Because the purpose of it was to violate the din of Layachel. He did not want.
But it's only violating it if it's not a matana. If it's a matana, then what's the violation?
If it's a real matana, then how come he couldn't be makdish l'shamoy?
Don't we have a tanai? I give you the lulav of Manasseh Hatzer.
Yeah.
So if you, so that's considered, we consider that
Matana.
A valid matana.
Correct.
So matana with the condition is.
And if he wanted to makdish it at that point.
The lulav and esrog, did he makdish that lulav and esrog that you got from your chaver?
Presumably, yes.
Good. Yeah, it's in your possession, it's yours.
Presumably, you
fulfill. Right.
And you could say, Harisho Chalafanecha, but it belongs to the basic.
Exactly.
No, but we're saying it's a lav. We're saying there's a misayeh here.
Here's a lav is liyacha.
What's,
there's no lav over there, and it's going to be makdisha.
What's the yacha? What's the, if it's not his, it's not. What's the lav? The lav only comes if it's assuming it would be the original guys, the no there.
In this case, the matana was not a real matana.
But we're saying we have tznai, so why wouldn't it just be a matana al tznai, and the matana would be chal, and therefore there shouldn't be.
When one person gives to the other person arba minim on sukkahs, he gives him belave of shalom 100%. It's all yours and use it. But
I give you back.
Here over here, he didn't say, I'm giving it to you, I'm going to ask to go and give the whole back. I'm giving it to you, it's yours. Why? So that your father's not allowed to eat together with you, besuda, because you are. You made a neder. He's not going to have
father made the neder. The father.
It doesn't say it. It
sounds like the father was
no, mudr. No, means either
the context.
He
was,
okay.
It could be they were both. In other words, the father was upset with his son. He said, "I don't want to have any more hanor from you." The son was upset with the father. He said, "I don't want you to have a hanor from me." Or it could be they both said simultaneously, "I don't want to have a hanor. You don't want to give me a hanor." So, at least with respect to one thing, they were both on the same page. They both agreed. Anyway, bottom line is, says our Gemara, Amru Chachamim, Kol Matana She'ina, She'megdisha, Mikdashes, Eina Matana. Any Matana, which is Eina, what means Eina, that it's not a real Matana, it's just a pseudo Matana, it looks like a Matana, it's not real. She'megdikta Mishadeshes, that if he were Makdashit, if he wanted to be Makdashit, he would not be able to be Makdashit. Eina Matana, it's not a real Matana, it's Gunishvet. Anyway, so bottom line is, Edisim Adaziel gave the third away, and Shammai had to agree, probably begrudgingly, and somebody said, you're right, and the Raya from Beis Choyrin is not a good Raya after all. But since we spoke about Yonisim and Azil, now the Gemara tells us the famous story. This Gemara also appears as well in the Sechta Sukkah. Tana Rabban and Shmoyim Talmidim Hoyloi Lehillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim, and they were great people. Shloisha Mehen Ru'uyin Shetisha Alein Shechina Kemoish Rabbeinu. 30 of them were on the Madrega that the Shekhinah had been Shoyer on them, just like with Shoyer Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Taka wasn't Shoyer on them, says Rishbam, because of Avoyin Hador. If you look at the fifth line of the Rishbam, the fifth of the wide lines, or in the Shetisha, Elisha Avoyin Hador Goyrein, then Adoy Roy Lekach. That door was such a Shvach Hador that Kodesh Baruch Hu would never go and be Shoyer the Shekhinah down below on these 30 individuals because of the entire culture and the entire generation. Shloishmi and another 30, Ru'uyim Shetam and Chamek Yeshua Ben Nun. They were so great that if they would have wanted to, they could have stopped the Chama from shining or to stay in place, like in the case of Yeshua Ben Nun. Rishbam points out that based on a drush of Ochel, that the Gemara says in the Sechta Avodah Zarah that the Chama stood still for Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Now she brings him in Chumash. Ochel teis pachtucha. What's that pachad? Well, the chama stood still for 12 hours. It didn't move back or forth or up and down in one place. So why did we refer to Yeshua ben Nun and not to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rishbam, because since they were not as choshev as the first 30 that we said were almost on a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, they were secondary choshev, not triple A, double A chashivas. So that's why we're told to be Yeshua ben Nun instead of Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, we've covered now 60, 30 plus 30. Ezra Beinoniim. Then there were 20 kind of middle guys. We'll soon see what the Beinoniim were like. Godel Shemekulin, the greatest of all of these 80 Talmidim, that was Yonis Menaziel. We just spoke about at length. Katan Shemekulin, the Shvachster, the least of all of these 80, that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Wow.
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the least.
Oh, can you imagine that? And now you're going to hear about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amru Lalava, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shlehi Niach Mikra. Not one pasuk he didn't know, or Mishnah that he didn't know, or Gemara. Rishbam already points out There were no printed Gemaras at the time of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. There was no Gemara at all, because we're talking about Tanoim, and therefore Ravina Rav Ashi didn't even compose the Gemara yet.
Plus, he didn't compose the Mishnah yet, the formal Mishnah.
So you got a photographic memory.
And even all any Rashi's either, you know?
Exactly, you imagine. Anyway, so Rishbam says Gemara means what our Gemaras are. You see, about seven lines into the white lines. Gemara, Svoras HaMishnayis Ke'en She'onu Mefarshan Aleihen Lo'ishonu. Just like the Gemara constantly asks Akasha, from another bright, so from another Mishnah. So Gemara says, Lo Yishonu, and this who came to in this case. Uch, Suri Mechzer, we have to add a few words, we have to subtract a few words. So all of that back and forth that we have in the Gemara throughout Shas, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew all of that Baal Peh, as well as all Halachos. They didn't have Rambam or Shulchan Aruch, or even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch at the time. So Halachos Hashvam means he knew all the Halachos L'moshe Mi-Sinai. The Agodos, he didn't have Agadah to Gemara, like we're learning now, but he knew all the Agodos of the Midrashim of Midrash Rabbah, Midrash Tanchuma, Vayikra Rabbah. He knew all the Midrashim by heart. He knew all the Dikduke Torah. What is Dikduke Torah? So Hashvam gives us an example of Vav de Vizeh Lochem HaTomei the Marbina Minei Dam HaSheretz. In other words, every extra letter in the Torah, where the Gemara darshins, why do you have an extra letter? Why are you missing, adding a word, subtracting a word? He knew all of those diktukim. And diktukei sofrim, says Rishbam, that means all the gzeiros that the Chachamim added to the Isurei Torah. He knew all the kalim v'chamoyrim. He knew all the gzeiros shavites. He knew all the tkufais. Now, what does it mean he knew the tkufais? Says Rishbam, he knew all the moilid halvanois. Other Mefarshim say it's not only the Kufis of Levana, but also of the Chama. He knew all the astrological, astronomical calculations. He also knew all the Gematrios. And when we think of a Gematria, we think of the numerical equivalent. But the term Gematria is a broader term and also refers, for instance, to Rashi Tevois. If you look at Rishbam halfway down the wide lines, Gematrios, Kigoyin Anoichi. The word Anoichi, it says, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, is Rosh HaTevis. Ano Navshi Kisovis Yehovis. The Rabbi Yishlom Kaviyochel is saying, I put my neshama into the Aseres HaDibris and into the Torah. So Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, Anoichi Ano I Navshi, my nefesh, my neshama, Kaviyochel, Rabbi Yishlom is a nefesh, Kisovis Yehovis, I'm giving it to you in writing. And that's why it says in the Mefarshim, why the Torah is considered to be so dear and precious to Rabbi Yishlom, that he shared it with the Jews, and that we consider it to be so precious and so choshev, because someone who really understands the depth of the Torah starts to understand a little bit about Kaviyachl, about the Rabbi Yishlom. And he especially put himself in the Torah, so we should have an opportunity to delve into it, to get a feel what the Rabbi Yishlom is all about. Anyway, so that's...
What's the Rashi Yirat, the next one in the Rashbam?
Oh, you just bring the Rashi in Chumash brings this in Parshas Bolak, that it says, Ki Yorat HaDerech L'Negdi, the Dilam was upset that the donkey was constantly stopping on midroot, and he started hitting him, and the Pasuk uses Yorat HaDerech L'Negdi, and therefore Rashi in Chumash says, Yomar Misach HaShabbos, Yorat, the you, Bilam, didn't see that there was a malach blocking us. I, the chamor, did see. Yora, it was fearful. Rasa saw it. Notza, and therefore was noita, it went to the side so that the malach would be able to pass by. However, he, Bilam, didn't see that malach, and therefore he thought that his osain is becoming just stubborn and doesn't want to travel anymore, and that's why he gave patch. So when Yora, is Rosh HaTevis, Yora, Rasa, Notza.
Thank you.
No problem. That's the Rishbam. Yeah.
It's Rosh Tevos,
Yorat HaDerech L'Negdi. The word Yorat, Yud Resh Tes, Yora, Ruasa, and then the Tes of Natsa, Yorat. Now but of course, when we think of Gematriois, we think of Gematriois in terms of numerical equivalent, so we should have that here in the Moisef Rashi. We have the Moisef Rashi. In my Moisef Rashi, it's about three, four lines after the wide lines of the Rishbam. See on the right hand side, about two thirds, three quarters down the Amud. Do you have that, my good friend, Brother Barry?
Yes, opposite the fourth wide line of the Rashbam.
Very good. Beautiful. Well, Gematria is Dvorim Halameidim Beloshin Gematria, Kigoin Sheshach is Bovel, Beat Bashkar. As you know, there's this At Bashkar that Aleph is like a Tov, and Beis is like a Shin, etc. Kazim Vekomi, Beat Bash, etc. Monoin Beat Bash is the Sadab. V'chein lefi minyan o'isiyas. Going to stam nazir is a shloishim yoyim is 30 days. How do I know? V'kodesh yihye. Yihye v'gematria shloishim hava. So he knew all gematriyos, not only gematriyos for purposes of drushes and for purposes of these agadats and gemaras, but also for purposes of halacha, that you don't know the din of 30 days, gematria from that gemara in Kodesh yet. 30 days, stam nazirs. Umisholos koifsim. What means misholos koifsim? So Rejbam, that sometimes to go and teach Torah, it's good to go and teach it the moshel ubimalitza. Like you have the Dumna Magid, who was very famous for teaching Torah and teaching Musar. Parables, that's right. Why koivsin? Apparently they used to use the koivis as your typical person that they would talk about. Oh, I'll tell you a mashal. Mashal ma'adav adayim. There was that launderer that used to live in the town of Kishkin Halosh, not that far from Ketchkemet, right next to Nirit Haz. And that koivis, he had this, that, or the other thing. And
so, like Barrel Shmerl.
Barrel Shmerl. Oh, that's the koivis. So that's Misholis koivsin. Misholis shu'olim is talking about
boxes.
Animals, foxes, also the same type of thing. The Gemara tells us a story about at the end of Masechtes Malkus that the
fox was in the fox was Mikdash. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva were there.
Yeah, but that's true.
That wasn't supposed to be a muscle.
But that's a muscle. But that's supposed to be emes, the Shualim Hokavai, and that's the pasuk Shualim Hokavai in Al Naris Bavel. But the Gemara talks about a Shual talking to the fish. And says, fish, why don't you come on to dry land and we'll get together?
Why do you teach Torah at the risk of your life?
Exactly.
Just like a fish
can't live without Torah, so therefore we can't live. And so if you're going to go and try to convince me, let's stop learning Torah. It's like the shul telling to the fish,
come on, we'll dry land.
We'll live like Avicenna lived years ago. We don't know who those Avicenna were, and the voice of the fish that lived under the whole thing was kind of fishy. But anyway, then the Gemara brings Sichas, the Shindalids. What is that all about? Says Rishbam, fascinating. Sichas Shindalid Hashbiyam, to be Mashbiyam. In other words, if you ever come across an evil demon, you want to go and swear him. Why do you want to swear him? Nafkimin alas is Kamei Lerfur. I know Chas V'Sholem Yankel Beryl Shmerel is not feeling well. I want to go and design a Kamei for him for Rafur, but I don't know what his problem is. I'm not a doctor, I didn't do a CAT scan, I didn't do MRI. And maybe if I did, I still don't know how to go and give him a remedy. But the Shindalids, evil demons, they know. Because many of them are the ones that caused the illness or the problem in the first place. So he knew how to go and talk to them, to be mashbiya them, to go and force them to swear. Tell me, what does this person have, so we'll be able to go make the appropriate kameya to give him a refuah. The sikha is the column. Now, what means Sikh the Kohen? The trees
talk to one another. They do.
Yeah, they do talk to one
another. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so then there's no problem. The Rishbam learns a little bit differently, I think. Sikh the Kohen says, Rishbam, Shabani Odom Regilim, Ledaber Ala the Kohen, Kirchsir Bishloima, Vayedaber Ala Eitzim. It's people that project onto the trees what they are probably saying to one another. As they're swaying with the wind or with the draft, they're probably saying, oh, it's so nice today, and it's a nice nice breeze.
Global warming.
Well, I'm sorry, global warming, exactly.
You know, yeah. They're discussing.
Exactly, for no question about it. Maybe they're discussing politics. The Sichas Malachi Asharis. What are the Sichas Malachi Asharis? Is Rishbam, Utsil Hashbiyam, to be able to Mashbiyam them. I didn't know for what purpose, but he knew how the Sichas of the Malachi Asharis. And Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai knew Dover Godel with Dover Kotan. What are those things? Dover Godel is Meisim Merkava. Meisim Merkava, as we know, which appears in Yecheskel, where unless you're a great, great person, you should not be learning the Baita Meisim Merkava. And what's the Dover Kotan? Those are Vayis, the Abaye Verava. The Abayis of Abaye Verava that you find almost in every single Umud or every Blat or every Perik in Shas, where Abaye Verava going back and forth. The reason why they're going back and forth, says Rishbam, Shehikshu Mishnayis Ubraisis Tuva Vitirtsum. We have a collection of the Brises and the Mishnayis. Maybe they were not written down yet, but people at least knew them Balpeh, Mishnayis Balpeh. And Abaye V'Rova would ask Ashes, hey, but there's a steer between the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin with the Mishnah Maseches Ksuvis, or to Baba Basra, or to Baba Metzia, so what are we going to do? So they would ask and they would answer, so that everything would be wonderful. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew all of that. Why is that considered to be a Dover Kotan, as opposed to Meisim Merkava? Because Meisim Merkava, we cannot even grasp with the greatest of our knowledge and wisdom, the Maaser Kavod, that's where the Rebbe Yishlom Kaviyochel is up there in the Shemayim. Dovakam, if we muchitzach and we put in Haravanya and Yegia, you'll be able to chap and understand the abayis of Abayi Verova. The Kaim Mashenemar, to go and be Mekayim. That Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh had this tremendous brocha that he knew A to Z, everything is Mekayim the Pasik Lahanchali Haviyesh, Voitreseyem Amale. What does that mean? You all know that in fact appears in the final Mishnah in Masechtas Uktzin. The Gemara brings it. The Mishnah brings it from Yeshua ben Levi. There's a question whether or not he was a katana, whether he was an amoira. Anyway, the Mishnah over there, as you know, says lahanchel haviyesh, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the Kodesh Baruch Hu lahanchel chol tzadik v'tzadik shai olamos 310 olamos. And Shenema, like I said, the pasuk lahanchli have a yesh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving 310 olamos. Now, what are the 310 olamos? In fact, Rishbam also says it bekitzur. He doesn't bring the whole Mishnah. Lahanchli have a yesh olamos, 310 olamos. So what means the 310 olamos? After all, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai never went to astronomy school. He didn't go to math school. He didn't go to school where they taught the Sichas Shindalids and the Sichas Malachi Asharis. How did he know all of these things? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees someone who is Moli Torah V'Yir Shemayim, he gives him a present. Lahanchel Ehavi, to his Ehavim, to his the people that love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them in turn. Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, he gives them Shai Olamis. What are those Olamis? Not that he gives them 310 portions of ice cream or of sushi, but the Olamis means Olamis of other Chachmois that they can go and use then in their understanding of the Torah and be able to help people like the Sichas Shindalids and things of that nature. Why? Because Oitzrei Mamali, because they are Mamali, their Oitzrois, their heads and their bodies with Divrei Torah v'Chochma. So this is like a present to those who fill their Oitzrois up with Mali, with Torah. I give them a present, I give them all the other things that are important for them. So Timar, we've now described in some detail the smallest of all the Talmidim of Hillel Zaken. That's Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Tzchi me'achet, kodesh v'kulin. Okay. Kodesh v'kulin halachas kam v'kama. You can imagine what the story was with the other 79, and particularly the greatest of the great, Yonis ben Uziel, who was the kodesh v'kulin. Tzchi me'achet, amra olav Yonis ben Uziel. Mishar sheyoyshev oisim b'toira. When he would learn Torah, the intensity of his learning was such, any oif that went over him, Nisraf, was automatically burnt. That's the hash of Torah that was burning in him. So first of all, there is one of the Mefarshim asks, I tried to find it, I couldn't find it last night. Now that we've described the greatest of the Talmidim, how would you describe Hillel Zaken himself? So one of the Mefarshim says that, but in the case of Yonis and Menziel, it's only if the oif was pereach olav, directly overhead. In the case of Hillel Zaken, if there was an oif within four amois, it would also be nisraf. Not only directly overhead, but even four amois in all directions.
Extended. You projected.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one pshat. Others, however, say just the opposite. And they tell a story of the Chofetz Chaim. What was the story of the Chofetz Chaim? By one of the Knesiyas Gedoilos of the Gudas Yisrael, the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal made a resolution, he proposed as a resolution to the other Rabbanim, the other Rebbes that were there, and they were all against it. I don't know, I don't remember what it was. I think it had something to do with Chinuch HaBanos, having to do with educating girls, and a whole bunch of Rabbanim and Rebbes, whatever, they knocked it down. And the Chofetz Chaim sat in nicely and finished, and nothing happened. So I think they say about the Imri Emes. Imri Emes was the Ger Rebbe that he said about the Chofetz Chaim that he is Bebechinus like Hillel Zaken. Any other person except for the Chofetz Chaim would have been so upset. After all, the Chofetz Chaim was well recognized already, the Doro, as being the Gadol Hador, and all of these younger Rebbes and younger Rabbanim and Tzadikim, Kedoshim, and all the rest, they still didn't reach the level of Chofetz Chaim. You would think that he would be upset, and you look at them, you know, why are you arguing with me? You should go and follow my lead. No, he kept himself calm and silent and all that. He said that that's just like Hillel Zaken. Hung faket. By him, the oif was pereach olav, einoy nisraf. It would not get burnt. Rabbi Yonis ben Uziel was not able to contain the fire of Torah within him, so it had to go out and burn the oif. He was like
in the zaken.
Exactly, he was able to contain all of the fire within him without it going.
Do you not remember what the machlokas was there?
I don't know if I ever knew in terms of forgetting. This is that's the story that was told. But I think it was he wanted to introduce something about Chinachabonis. Anyway,
I looked at Shmaya. Hillel Zaken was this Talmud of Shmaya Talon, and that was the time of the Rabbi Cheney. So that was that.
So it was
sure,
real.
Sure, Hillel became the Zaken, became the Nazi.
Yeah, I thought it was
because Erev Pesach Shachol Shabbos.
Right, okay.
He said, put the knife in the Shabbos.
I was
the
just worried.
The Shabbos says 100 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Nesiim started. That's where Hillel's Nesiim started.
Well, this is good. So then we have all these riots. It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just knowing this if we're going to say, hey, you should give us that Barry or somebody else. Say, ah, it's me, you should really destroy. How could it be?
No, okay.
Good. And then there's, of course, a vertel. Vertel means a little bit of a joke that when they learned this Gemara, that there were three people learning the Gemara together. There was a Chosid, and there was a Litvak, and then there was a Yekir. So about the Chosid, it says, when he learned Kol'ev Shebrechavis,
wow.
I can't believe it, the great Madrega. Then the Yekke says, wow, that's unglaublich, that's nicht zu glauben, as a Busse Vadon can do sein, it's on a fire. Wow, it's unbelievable.
I like how your switches from Hasidic accent to Yiddish accent.
And then the
Litvak, yeah.
The Litvak, when he learned this Gemara, is Eim der Eifot gehört zu Beruven, uns ist verbrennt geworden. Darf Jönes mit dir bezahlen auf dem oder nicht? Heißt das ein Garmi? Heißt das ein Gromme? Wenn sich wie ein Gestell, ja.
It's really Gary DeLay, it's Gary
DeLay. Gary DeLay is high. Exactly. All right, but Yochanan Zake was the one who confronted Vespasian. He was taken out by Elazar and Yeshua.
Exactly, so you have so many rights. And therefore we continue on to the next one. Zog to Mishnah. Person says, this fellow is my son. He is believed. What's the nafkiminis? Your son, Nisha's son. We'll see two possible halachic ramifications from that statement. Don't get too nervous, don't get too upset. We're going to address that momentarily. But if he says, this is my brother, Eina Neman, he's not believed. And he goes and takes a chelik in his chelik. What does that mean? So Rishbam explains. You have two Vatei brothers that know each other, and then there's a third brother that comes from Medina Sayyam, and he says, I'm also a brother. Then why do you think he came from Medina Sayyam? Because he heard that father passed away. And therefore, when father passed away, he smells that there might be some monetary benefit to his coming here and to be on the scene.
His father, when he was alive, he didn't...
Exactly. Whatever it was. And he's here now, and he wants to go and get a chedek. Now, of the two brothers, one was an older brother, one was a younger brother, and presumably the older brother knew that other brother that came now, the Medina Sayyam, and he says, yo.
Are they all brothers from the same mother?
The same mother is not important, but they were the same father. So we have now two brothers, one of whom says, I can tell you the Vado'us, that he is a brother, and the other one says, I don't know, Efshio, Efshanisht. Now the question is, they're going to divide up the estate.
Mm-hmm.
We have altogether three fields. Under normal circumstances, if the Sufik had been here all along, there's no Bechor involved, one, everybody get one field, everything, Shalom Yisrael. However, since one of the two says, I don't know who that guy is, you have no right to go and give away my chedek Yerusha to him without any proof, without any aidan. You can give away your chedek, but not my chedek. So therefore, what happens, says Rishbam, the two are going to split up the three fields. First one is going to get 1.5, second one is going to get 1.5, and the brother who was Moida and Makir, the third guy, he's going to have to go and give away 1/2 of the 1.5. In other words, he'll keep his one, and he'll give the half away to the third.
So he keeps a full one.
So the first brother who denies or says, I don't know, he gets 1.5. Second brother who says, yes, I recognize him, gets 1. And the third brother, the suffer, is going to get 1/2. going to get the half. What's the svara over here? Because certainly he's not entitled to more than two halves, to one full tzaddik.
There's three brothers.
There's three brothers. Three. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
There's six. Larry,
and Curly.
Divide into six, please. Don't have a little confused here. So there's six portions.
No, six portions.
Make it six. Six half fields. Or make it six fields.
Okay.
Make it six fields. The first brother gets three fields. The second brother, who's Makir, the absentee, he gets how many of the
two fields?
And they say it's 1/6.
And the other one gets 1 field.
Okay, it's 1/6.
Yeah, but what's the svara behind it?
Right.
The svara behind it is the first two brothers are certainly entitled to 1 field each. That's no question.
Right.
Because if the suffix were incorporated as a full-fledged member, he'd also get 1 field. So each one of them gets 1 field each. We have now 1 field that is the suffix field. The first brother says, I don't know who that guy is. Unless you bring me two Adam, I'm not in agreement. So he can get half of that third field. The second brother, who would be entitled to the second half, says, yeah, but I recognize that he's a brother. Okay, so since you are maskim and you're moidah, he's your brother, give him that one half that he would be entitled to from his whole, from the one.
So it's 1/6 of the total estate.
You want to call it 1/6, isn't it?
So the brother coming from Medina Sayyam,
correct.
What would be considered significant proof that he's one of the brothers?
Two people that are unrelated would come on the scene, Yankel and Beryl. We solemnly swear, we know this fellow, we remember the father, we were at the bris, we were at the kiddush, we were at his bar mitzvah, we know that he happens to be a son of this father, and that therefore he is a brother of the other two.
And if the two others are machish?
They can be machish from this. It's like any time that you have a litigation, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me, I'm machish, Reuven brings to Adam, and
they're not punished in some sort of way for saying that he's not a brother when it was found out.
Why are they punished?
He has to bring proof.
Well, they're lying.
No, he's a property. He's saying, I don't recognize him, I don't know who this guy is.
Remember, you asked before about the same father, same mother. Make a very simple case. This person, before the war, he was married, he lived in Hungary, and he had a family over there. And this is a father with a wife, blah, 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 blah. After the Mechoma was over, he lost his wife, he lost most of his children, and he remarried, and he had new children. And now, a boy, later on, the father passed away, a fella comes on the scene from Hungary. Oh, don't you know that this happened? This was my father? Well, how was your father? Because I was previously married to this fellow.
He's a Hordananish or Kushkanalish.
So he was able to, one of the two brothers says, yes, I remember seeing pictures, I remember father telling me, and I remember I was still young, I was at the bar mitzvah, I immigrated also in 1956 from Hungary, I reckon. The other guy was a born American, he never met him, he never met the fellow, he never met the mother.
Right. Okay,
so... So nobody says, we're not talking about people over here that are lying or deceiving. One person said, I know, and the other person said, I know. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, says the Mishnah, Ze achi einan eman. The brother that says that Sofik is our brother, he is not believed vis-a-vis the Yerusha of the first guy. The Yitel Imam Mechalka, but he has to go and cough up part of his chedek, of his one and a half, he has to go and give the half, because that's what he says really belongs to him. The other brother is stealing, in a sense, that other half, because he's not willing to go and concede. But I can't force him to concede, so he's going to, in a sense, be like the Ganav, stealing that other half, according to me, that I say he's my brother, and I'm going to give him my extra half, or as you call it, the sixth. The Yitel Imam Mechalka. Mace, what happens now if the Suffolk passes away suddenly, leaving no children, and leaving that one half of the field, not the one half a field, what happens now? So you might think, should now split it up between the two remaining brothers. No, it goes back to the second brother that said about him that that's my brother. Why does it go back to him? Why doesn't it go to the first brother as well? Says Rishbam, because that third brother was entitled to a full field. The half of the field that he was entitled to, the first brother already took at the outset. So now we're telling him, until now, if you will, it was a Geneva, now you can keep it, because the third brother passed away. So now you're certainly entitled to that. They don't have to give you anything more. And then we restored to the second guy, who was gracious and magnanimous, and gave away a half a field to the third one. He gets back that field. So now they're back same.
What claim would the denying brother have at all? He says, it's not my brother.
He didn't say, I'm not my brother. He says, I don't know that he's my brother.
Okay.
Since you cannot prove that he's my brother, I'm the muhsik as a Yoyrish. I have no question that I'm a Yoyrish. So I'm going to keep whatever I can get, right. And then if he can prove otherwise, I'll go and cough up some of the property. But until that point, it's mine. So Rishbam uses a Loshon Hashtikel Gezel. If you look at the Rishbam, Mesa Sofik, four lines on the bottom. Mesa Sofik, Yechzorach, Nechosim, Shenosin, Loi, Mechelkoi. If the second one gave him that half, he gives it back. Lim Koyman, Koloyman, Lemish, Shenosin, Loi. Only to brother number two that gave it to him. Al Sharachim, and Yorshin, Imoi. They don't get a chelik of the Sofik, half a field. Do Amalahu, Hai. Hari Hakzaktim, and Achla, Ruyu, Loi, the Sofik, Meavinu. That part that you were imachzik from our father, that I said should belong to the Sufik, Oysa told Lecha, take that part for yourself. What means? Sharlei mocha lechem chelkoi. That Sufik was never moichel you that you took it away. Vakati ad hashem atirdis gezel yeshna biyachem. He's talking a little bit in a very strong, emphatic terms. It's like a gezel. You should have given it to the third guy in the first place. You didn't. So you held it until now as gezel. And now, because he passed away, it's no longer gezel, now it's yours. The gamani irash chelki. What is my chelki? I didn't steal, I gave him my half a field. Shinesati loy that I gave him, I get it back. Come again, I'm going to get back the nuntinu. Kulanu shayer, shovin minachlosi. So now, everybody's even Stephen. He had one field, I got half of it, you got half of it, each one of us has one and a half. That's in the case of the suffix chelik of that half that he passed away. What happens? Nafla nechosim imakim acher. What happens if that sofik he had nechosim coming from somewhere else? He got a yerusha from someone or a present from someone or whatever. Now what happens to that? So I might also have thought that only that middle brother that agreed that was moidu mesvade was makir. Maybe only he gets it. Brother Shai. Yeshua Echav Imai. Now all the brothers share in that largess.
It's too good.
134A3.
We got 134?
How about that?
Can you imagine? Now we're on the list. We just finished off the mission. I'm sure you did. So Nafla Nechosim Mokim Achim Yeshua Echav Imai.
The Suffolk brother now gets a Yerusha.
The Suffolk brother got a Yerusha or a present from somebody,
right.
And he passed away.
Right.
Now what happens to that Yerusha and that Matana?
It should go to the guy who was generous to him, because the other guy denied he was a brother.
So yeah. I would have thought.
Right.
Says the Mishnah, no. Everybody goes and gets Yerusha.
What launders a denial now? What's Matan here, this denial? Okay. That he now has, can
it wasn't very a denial. It says, I don't know.
He denied his sharing the sixth.
Okay, Alex is good. You know the famous rule. So now the first brother says to the second brother, oh, I'd like to go and get part of that Yerusha. He said, until now, you denied it, as you say, not denied it, but you were not willing to commit. So, if you're not willing to commit to give him, why do you all of a sudden you want to be on
taking it?
You've heard of people like that. They don't want to give, but they want
to. Like George Floyd's relatives, they had nothing to do with the guy, but all of a sudden he gets millions of dollars all of a sudden.
Oh, all best friends. Yeah. So that's the point over here. Sin's brother number two, who was Makir, that third brother, that Sufik is of Adai. Oh, you're Moideh. So until now, it worked against you in the sense that only you had to go and give your half a field, that 1/6. Why did you have to give it? Because you were Moidim as Vada, you got to give it to him. On the other hand, in this case, where the Suffolk has left Yerusha for all of us, once again, we're going to employ that Haiduas Baldin, you were Moidim that he happens to be a brother, not only of you, of all of us, and that's why you kept on begging us to go and give. Now it works against you in the sense that...
Because if he's a brother to the bidder, he's also a brother to the denier.
Exactly.
He's certainly
a brother to everyone.
I see.
That's why he's saying. Everybody Yarsh.
It attaches to the admitting brother, I see.
Okay, so let's go back to
the... Why would you could say the same thing reverse?
What's in reverse?
If the guy says Bevadoi is not Suffolk, and he's not my brother.
He's not my brother, okay.
He doesn't say Bevadoi.
I'm giving the case. I just said he did it.
In that theoretical case, I assume that he would not get it.
You have a dos then.
Exactly, right. Then only the middle brother would get the largesse the and not the first.
You still have a dos, then he said it's not his. He says,
I hear you. You have to say, Eid the Machishim Zezah. Okay, very good. What's up to you?
We can always give it to Brother Shah because he's always brother.
He's always the brother. That was such a fine point that you just made. Fine point. Okay. On to Gemara. Zok to Gemara. We started off the Mishnah. Imezeh b'ni neman l'may hilchasa. What are the ramifications? Amar Yira Mishmuel 2. Number 1, the Yarshoi. The father is saying that Chas Shalom after 120, he is one of the Yarshim. Perhaps the only Yardish, depending on what the situation is. And Lifter is Ishtay Menal Yibum. If he has a wife, in other words, if he had no other children, and therefore he's saying, this is my son, and she does not have to go and get a chalitza from my brother who lives in Africa or wherever. No, good. Zoktimar. So those are the two ramifications. The Yardish is the Imar Pshita, that's a double portion. Now, why is it such a double portion? Says Rishbam, like we've had this Gemara already before, because the father who claims that this is his son has a migui. What's the migui? I could give it to Matana right now. Instead of saying that he happens to be my Yoyerish, I give it to him. It's yours. Either it should be Matana to Michamna or Matana Lachamisa. Exactly. Exactly right. So therefore, since he is empowered to go and do that, so we believe him when he says to the Yoyerish, it's a Pshita. So what do I need to tell us, Zebedee? Says, you may write. For that, I didn't need a Mishnah. But rather, lift his ishtim and a yibam and strichalek to go and tell us that until now, people might have thought, if there are no kids, she might have to fall to yibam to somebody. This is a son, she doesn't fall to yibam. That's the chiddush. Pray to him, that's the chiddush. And now, mitanina, we have a beferish in Mishnah. Mishnah Mesech is Kiddushin. Misha Omer B'shas Misosei. Nebuch is about to pass away, and now he's starting to confess and to tell everybody his history. He says, Yesh li banim, I got boys. Now, when he's believed. Now, what is that Yeshli Banim? Meaning, and my wife does not fall Liyibam or to Chalitza. He's believed.
Why doesn't he have brothers?
He's talking about he has sons.
Keep reading.
Oh. Yeshli Achim, if he had brothers, then Eino Neman, then he's not believed. Now, what would be the Yeshli Achim Fakert? He's going to say about her that since we have no children and I have a brother, that there is a Zika and she cannot remarry without getting a Yibam or Chalitza. Right. So Yeshli Achim, Eino Neman. Okay. So now, Zokti Gemara, so that you're saying about Yeshli Ben, or that Zebeni, said the Mishnah, right? Or Ima Zebeni. And there it says Yeshli Banim. So that's the same halacha. Just like over there, the Yeshli Banim, what means that he's Naman? That there's not going to be a Zika, no Yibam Chalitza for my wife, for the Almana. That's what our Mishnah is telling us as well. So, Zokti Gemara, if you're telling me, lift us Ishtim and Ayimim, it's Shichalei, it's a Chabafeish Mishnah. We already had a Mishnah about it in Mesefsis Kiddushin. So why does he have to repeat it twice? Says Yimah, I'll tell you why it repeats it twice. Hosam d'loy muchsik lon bi'ach. There it's talking about a situation where there was a blank slate. We don't know about this person. Did he have sons? Did he have brothers? Kena vesnit. And therefore, since we don't know that he has brothers, and since we don't know that he has sons, what are we going to assume? We're going to assume that she would not fall liyim. It's really like muhsiklon, that there were no achim. At the time that he passed away, there was a chazaka in Shtot. Everybody that knew the family assumed that she was not going to fall to give him because nobody knew of any brothers. It's true, nobody knew of any sons, which would be an indication that she falls to give him, but nobody knew of any brothers. So the assumption is that she does not fall to give him. So therefore, when he says now, that I want you to know I do have sons and all those sons live in Australia or whatever, so that he's not really changing the status quo. And that's why he's believed. Hachin our Mishnah, Avgav the Muchsik Lebi Ach, even though nobody knows exactly who the Ach is, and we don't have Edim, but nevertheless there's a Chazaka. People, I remember he came, people told me, he has a brother from South America somewhere. I'm not sure, Venezuela, or is it in Caracas in Portugal? And was, whatever.
But his name was Noach, so there was no brother.
Noach. Ooh. Anyway, this is Okti Gemara. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Avagav the muchzik lebi'ach, and therefore everybody assumed that she would have a yibum chalitza zika situation. Since the father pointed out, this is my son, she's off the hook. That's
the take away the chazaka.
It could even take away the chazaka. Exactly right. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Om Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Om Shmuel. So now Rav Yosef is bringing in the name of Rav Yehuda Om Shmuel. You'll see that'll be very important in a moment. Name ma omru ze b'ni neman. What's the makar? In our Mishnah it says Zeh b'ni neman. You remember we have the Gabi Bechor. How do we believe a father that the son is a Bechor? So, because it says in the pasuk, ki es habachor ben hasnua yakir. He can go and tell everybody, you don't know, but I am Makar, that he's the Bukhar. We don't have such a posik legabi a ben. So why do we say automatically to this person who's about to pass away, when he says, B'ni Neman, B'ni, he's Neman. Efshiyo, Efshinish.
Isn't it called Homer if someone's believed that to say someone's Bukhar? Achas Kamar, say someone's my ben. Why isn't it called Homer? Yesh B'cham Asai Mana. I mean, if you can say someone is your Bechor, you can say about a stranger.
Bechor, he knows he's the son.
No, you can say about a stranger. This is not my son and my Bechor. He didn't say he's his son. See that man walking there? You think he's a stranger? He's my Bechor.
No, I don't think that's the case.
No, I think it is.
I think it's already, they know that he's the Achim. They know that he's a kid, but he doesn't know. They don't know he's a Bechor.
Is a Bechor Ben Abanim type thing?
Yeah, they don't know.
He's a Bechor, but he becomes a
They man. Came in, the family came in from
Australia.
Australia, and they have these kids, and he's saying, this is my Bechor.
The halacha of Yakir, Yakir Achim, apply to someone who's already established as a Ben, or even someone who's a stranger. Because if it's established to someone who's a stranger,
right, be right.
Then it's already included in the
best. Exactly.
Very good point. So apparently, you're right. Anyway,
apparently.
So Gemara, apparently, you're very good. Yeah, that was a very fine joke. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, the name of Omru Zeh B'ni Neman, Hoyil Ubal, so why Taked is in the Mishnah? What's the source of saying in our Mishnah Zeh B'ni Neman? I'll tell you why. Hoyil Ubal, Shomer Girash, is Ishti Neman. Since the whole limud, what's the purpose of our Mishnah, said the Gemara? To tell us, lift us ishtam and ayibam istrichalei. There's another way that he can pater his wife from yibam by saying that I gave her a get already a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, or whatever. And that's the migli. The Gemara is going to call it a hoyil, if you will, as you'll see in a minute. And the Gemara already says over here. Menei ma'omer zebri neman hoyil uval she'omer girash es ishti neman. Since there is a halacha, I don't know where this halacha appears. But hoyil, since there is halacha, the baal she'omer girash es ishti neman. Because of that, if now he says that this happens to be my son, the whole purpose of saying to his son, that there's no din of Yibam. Anyway, there's no din of Yibam because he already gave a get to his wife, and we believe it.
Or he could give one now.
That's the next Gemara. You're jumping ahead. So Omer of Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef who just said this, the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, was concerned. Mori Davram, right? She said, Rabbi was like saying, Rabbi Yishalayim, Toli Tanya, but Aloy Tanya. Now, why was Rabbi Yosef exclaiming Toli Tanya, Bilei Tanya? So Rishbam says, as we are well aware, that Rabbi Yosef Besoif Yomav, he unfortunately became sick and he started forgetting some of his learning. And as a result, he was concerned, what is the connection between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul? Our Mishnah is Tanya. Tanya means it's codified as part of the Mishnah. And what does it tell us? You're believed to go and say that this is Bani is now. What's the reason why? Based on what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel said, they don't have a Mishnah, they don't have a Braisa, they just said it on their own. This is a statement, a Shmaitza of the Amiroi. And what did they say? That Baal Shomer Gracious Ishti is Neman. How do I even know that Baal Shomer Gracious Ishti is Neman? It doesn't say that anywhere. If you're going to tell me there's another Mishnah, there's another Braisa that says Baal Shomer Gracious Ishti is Neman. Oh, so based on that, I have a Hoyel. That's why I'm believed to go and say Zebni Neman, because I could have said that it was Megarish's Ishti. But how do I know that you can go and say that if I said Garash's Ishti Neman? I don't know, that's B'loi Tanya. And therefore, said Rabbi Yosef, Eli Itmar Hochi Itmar, I think that what I said until now in the name of Yehuda Mishmuel is faulty, but rather the reason why in our Mishnah he's believed to go and say Zebni Neman is Omer Yehuda Mishmuel, Omer Zebni Neman, Hoyul B'yode Legarsha, because he's in Megarsha right now. From our Mishnah, we have no Raya Legabe that he's believed that he was Megarsha at some time in the past, but he can go and be Megarsha on the spot.
Of course, there will be major nafkaminas between the two.
What nafkaminas?
It's Shabbos, and he's dying on Shabbos.
Okay.
And he dies before Shabbos.
There'll be another bigger nafkaminas, as we'll see in a moment.
What?
So just stay tuned for another nafkaminas.
What if it's whatchamacallit?
If it's whatchamacallit, then certainly doesn't work. Beginning back to Agamar, he said, Hoyu be out of the Garsha, since on the spot, whilst he's Nebuch on his deathbed, he's saying, Rabbi Yisai, I want you to know, This fellow is my son, therefore my wife doesn't fall the Yibam. You don't believe me? Call the Soifel, that's right, I get right now, and then we don't have any shayles.
By the way, the Bach...
I say Sarum Yehuda, and the Rishbam talks about that. You shouldn't take it out, Sorry?
Ben
Hanafashos. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so getting back to our... You'll explain to me the depth of that a little bit later. So therefore, what... is Rav Yosef saying that the basis of our Mishnah is not based on the statement of Hoyel, he could have said Girash is Ishti, but rather because Bialagasha right now. Now Rav Yosef added, Omer Rav Yosef, Hash to the Amris Omrinan Hoyel, since you agree that there is this Hoyel, Ubiyadalagarsha, so now I can go and say another halacha, Baal Sha'om, Girash is Ishti Neman, Hoyel Biyadalagarsha. So Rav Yosef is saying, that's not the source for our Mishnah, because nobody ever said that before. But now that we have in our Mishnah that Zebani is Neman. Why? Because Biyadal the Garsha. So then when a Baal says, Kirashti is Ishti, I already gave a get, you have to believe him. Why? Because he can give a get right now, on the spot. Right. So therefore, that's not the Makor for our Mishnah, but that's now another halacha that we can learn based on our Mishnah. So until now, it was the Malamed, and now it's the Lamed. It was the Malamed. That's what Rav Yosef said originally. You know, why is Zebani Neman? Hoyul Baal Shomer Gerachis Ishti Neman. But, says Rav Yosef, I never found any source for that, other than Shmuel said it, according to this Gemara. But I'll tell you the reason for our Mishnah is because of, in the name of Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, and Shmuel, because of Biyadai. But once we said Biyadai, so now we can tag along another halacha. The Baal Shomer Gerachis Ishti Neman, because Hoyul Biyadal Garshan. However, Ki Yosef Yitzchak Bar Yosef, or Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shomer Gerachis Ishti,
he's not believed.
Not believed. Menapeach, Rav Sheshes Biyode, Rav Sheshes kind of blew at his hand as if to say, Ozele Hoyel Rav Yosef, oi, that second halacha of Rav Yosef now, Baal Shomigrash is Ishti Neman, that just fell away because the great Rav Yochanan said, Sinishtozai, Baal Shomar, Einoi Neman. Now the question is, why Taka is he not Neman? He's right, he can go and Nimigarish him on the spot. So now, you've given a good answer, talking about Shabbos. Rishbam gives a more, I don't want to say more fundamental, but a more broad reaching, or far reaching, nafkimina. What happens, l'moshel, Rishbam gives an example, it's today is Rish Chodesh Iyar. And he says, a month ago on Rish Chodesh Nissan, I gave a get to my wife. You don't believe me? I can give it right now. So what's a nafkimina? The nafkimina is what happens if Tes Vav Nissan, that's another one, Tes Vav Nissan, two Edom come in and say, Tesla of Nissan is Pesach. Everybody else was going to eat matzah at that time. The wife of the house, you couldn't find her anywhere. Everybody figured that she's bringing in matzahs or wine or this or that. She's Chas Hashem, she was Mizana with someone. Then the husband says, she was Mizana? This is already a month ago, I already gave the get. So that's the point.
His mercy on his niece, I think.
That's the Chosei, correct. Right. So our Gemara is telling us, even though he's taka believed biyod legasha right now, but that doesn't extend to any previous period. Rishbam says even to Esmoil it doesn't apply, because during the Esmoil until today, maybe in between Chas V'Shalom she was Mizana, and maybe that's the reason why he's taka saying, oh, I already gave her a get to go and cover up if Chas V'Shalom she erred or sinned in the meantime. But one thing I do agree with you, biyod legasha right now, yes, but it doesn't go l'mafreya. Frank Timar, you're telling me that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I have just the Abed of Omer Rabbi Chiba, Abed Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shomer Gerachis Ishti, previously, is your Neman. It's the Chastira, Ineovei. Here the Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Neman, here it says, your Neman. See, Timar gives the answer that we really have been talking about. If he's saying that, I Gerachis Ishti this morning, then he's believed. If you're telling me Gerachis Ishti Lamafreya 30 days ago, or yesterday, or a week ago, then he's not believed. What's the reason why? Because today it's Biyadal Garsha. You can give it right now. You don't believe me? I gave her a get 10 minutes ago. Call the cipher. Give a second one.
The same date.
Exactly.
It'll be the same document.
Same document. Same. Good. Eboyle. Now they want to ask an interesting question. This is a Rabbi Yirmiyah type of question. What was the question? Amal Mafreya Mal Himune Lehaba. Meaning the person said about my wife, I gave her a get 30 days ago. We already said, we're not going to believe her, because maybe it's the Shem Yechapa, you said, could be the takeaway from the Kuchais and things like that, Mezoinus, Basachois, yeah, the Alagutazach. What happens if he said, oh, I gave her again 30 days ago, and then Cholila V'chasi passes away? Now, would we believe him Lehaba? Okay, I don't believe him 30 days ago, but at least I believe him from today. And it's Biyadal Legarisha today when he was still alive. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we'll assume that she was talking Giget, and she's Giget. It has all of the halach ramifications, including give him, and she can't go marry a Koyan and all the rest.
And he doesn't have to get the get.
And you have to get the get. Oh, yeah, I see you really get it. Anyway, so the point is, what the Gemara calls this palginan dibura. I won't believe agabe the lamafreya because they could have ulterior motives, such as shem yichap al basa choisei, that type of thing, or for the kuchais and all the rest, the peyrois. But now the question is, do I believe mikan al abba? Can you go and split his testimony? Now le munei labba mi palginan dibura loy palginan dibura. So we have machlekes. Amori v'rapsvid chadam palginan dibura. Yeah, we do split it up, and therefore we don't believe in the lamafreya, but we believe in mikan al abba. Chadam loy palginan. The famous halacha of the Amar Rava, ish pani baal ishti, who vi acher mitzdar from the har goy v'loy li har ga. What happens if chas v'sholem a person has a wife and unfortunately he saw that she was mezana with somebody else, rachman l'tzlan, and not only he but somebody else also saw that she was mezana. So I have two eidim. Now the two eidim are going to go and testify, both he and the other guy, both with respect to the first person's wife, as well as to the perpetrator. So on the perpetrator, we certainly have two eidim. Vis-a-vis the wife, we also have two eidim, but one of the eidim is the husband, and a karev is possibly eidim. Mm-hmm. And since a woman's considered to be plagufa, the wife, the plagufa of the husband, it's eimlecha karev gadol mizeh, it's like his own life and blood. Right. So now the question is, zogt yitzrova, ish ploini ba alishti, who meaning the husband, the acher, and another eight, mitzdarfin, taking mitzdarf lahar goy to go and kill that perpetrator who lived with his ishtoi. However, on lahar goy, v'loh lahar ga. Why is that? Because palgin and dibura, we believe him vis-a-vis that other person, but we disqualify him vis-a-vis his wife. Oh, so you see that you can take testimony and split it down the middle. So why is there machlekes over here, your palgin and ish palgin and maishna medarava, that Rava said clearly, palgin and dibura. When you're talking about two separate individuals, then the testimony is affecting both Yankel and Shpritzer.
It's a technicality because he's a karov to the wife. It's not we're splitting his testimony, we're splitting the effect of his testimony.
Fine, good. So the question is, go and split the effect of his testimony over here as well, and say, the fact that I wanted to give it to go, that I can't. But at least Mikan Laba, she's not going to fall the Yibum, and she'll be also to a Koyin and all the rest. Can you split it up? Says Imar, but try and go for Palginan. All Rava established was, when you are taking the effect of the testimony and you're splitting it, that's because it had an effect on him and on her. So vis-a-vis him, the Gabi Yankel, we'll throw the books at him, and in fact, we'll throw the stones at him. Not Mamri stones, because he gets chenek. We're going to kill him, unless it's Ararusa. Okay, so we're going to kill him. Mashen kin lagabe shprinza, because shprinza is a karev, and he kin, that's palgina. B'chad guf, to go and say about the same wife, we believe this husband, lagabe today, we won't believe in lagabe 30 days ago, that is already the machlik. Do you say palgina or not in that circumstance?
I mean, where one stands, once Rav married.
Married, yeah.